the Social Fishing Members Podcast, your exclusive access to freshwater content.
Welcome to this video. We're going to talk about fishing Burrinjuck, mainly for yellows. We have a bit of content on cod already. I'm not the person who's going to be sharing it. I do know a little bit, but Dan, you know heaps more, mate. Thanks for jumping in the video and helping share a bit for our members.
Yeah, very good, mate. Yep.
Your home lake?
Yeah, yep. Spent a fair bit of time up here.
Burrinjuck, you fish heaps and heaps. Mm-hmm. Golden perch, probably a fay or...
It's just
different.
You love
your cod, it's different.
Yeah, I really enjoy the golden perch, especially because I can get the kids out and the kids have a lot of fun. Cod fishing, especially through the wintertime, is pretty tough going. And I've got to be honest, by the time I get to the end of the season, I'm done. I'm ready for spring. So I really do love me yellow fishing, that's for sure.
So run us through the yellow. So if you're going to come here chasing yellows, we're going to run through here in this little chat, and there'll be stuff throughout the membership elsewhere. The size of the fish, the quality of the fish, how well it fishes, the structure, like the fish themselves, they're not a Windermere caliber fish.
No, they're not.
Run us through.
But they are. The size of the fish has accelerated a lot in the last 3 years. So we've had probably what you can describe as pretty tough fishing since it filled up about 3 years ago. It went from down in the 30s to spilling over what could have refilled the dam like 5 times. And it really upset everything. But what it has done since then is really boosted the growth of the yellows. We're now seeing on a reasonably regular basis yellows tipping over 60 centimetres. They are not the build of the windy fish. They don't have as big a shoulders. They're not as fat.
But they're a nice built fish.
Yeah, really fired up there.
So what's the normal size? Like you get, there's a lot of little fish here. There's a lot of 30, 35, 40 centimetre fish. And then it's kind of an even spread right through to like 50.
Yeah, so 50 to 55 is reasonably common. Once you start getting over 55, they start to really taper off a bit.
Yeah.
60s, like I've probably caught 3 or 4 here at 60 centimetres. Okay. And you know, and you hear about them sort of more and more regularly at the moment. But probably your average fish is probably going to be, say, 45 to 50 centimetres.
Yeah.
You'll then find patches where you've got fish that are probably only about 40 odd centimetres, and they're usually quite thick. They usually school up quite tight.
Yeah.
So whenever you find them, you usually, usually find a lot of them. But on average, you know, a 50 centimetre fish is a good solid fish for you.
So run through their behaviour more in terms of they concentrate in certain parts of the lake, and you talked about when it filled up and had heaps of rain.
Yep.
They're very weird fish in this system. They're not consistent season on season unless you have stability at any height. Stability and clarity comes back, then the fishing's good. But outside that...
Yeah. Any big rise in the lake just tends to upset them.
Like
any time we get really high inflows, get a few inches of rain and it comes up, it just tends to scatter them. And I think they scatter and sort of hug the bottom a bit. They sort of sulk because they'll like push off the trees and the whole bit. And trees is like the number one structure here. And if you can't find on the trees, it's like, well, where are they?
Yeah.
We had, the year after it flooded and overflowed, it was like a desert scape out here.
So they actually, not that they're hard to catch, they actually disappeared.
Yeah.
So theories are, like you said, they're on the bottom.
Yep.
Or a lot of the fish actually went up the river.
Yep, up the river arms to spawn,
which makes sense because there's a lot of small fish moving back in the system. But they should come back and be somewhere.
Yeah.
But it can be tough for a whole season at a time when you get a big flood sort of thing.
It's turning around now. I mean, now it's back to where it sort of was. And probably not quite, but it's getting back there, put it that way.
Right.
We've got a lot of fish that are pushing down, that have pushed back down, I think, out of the river arms is where a lot of them disappeared to. This time of year, in early spring, they are starting to fire up in the tops of the river arms.
Yeah.
And
they're moving up for flow.
Yeah, they're moving up for flow, but also if you keep an eye on your sounder when you're out here, you launch down at the main basin, you're at 13 degrees.
Yeah.
You get up sort of this end up in the high Bidgee arm and you're looking at 15 or 16 degrees. In early September,
warms up quicker.
Yeah, and then the food chain kicks in.
Yep.
And so that's the place you're gonna find more of them, and they're also when you find them there, they're generally more active. So
what about structure? So run us through.
Yeah.
You said trees.
It's the number one most consistent way to catch yellow belly in Burrinjuck is to fish standing trees, is hands down. You do get a reasonably sporadic time through spring where they will hit the rocky edges. But generally speaking, it's not an edge bite dam, so to speak. There's no consistent weed beds here to sort of draw them into the edge. It's really only the rocky structure will sometimes draw them in for the yabbies and the shrimp and things like that.
But that's very hit and miss.
It is, and it's just masses of it.
Rock.
Like, you look around here, it's just rocky, but there's rock. Just good banks everywhere.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, they don't stick to the rock, and I think they like the trees because they can just move up and down the trees.
Yeah.
Because it's an irrigation dam, so through summertime it drops a lot, and they can just move down the tree deeper and deeper. Or they might have to shift 10 or 20 metres over and get onto a deeper tree. But the trees are the most consistent fish-producing structure in the whole
lake. So you can fish the edge if you wish. You have done it successfully.
Yeah, definitely. I've had early spring bites on the edge. I've had it sort of on rock.
Steep rock.
Yep.
Early spring.
I've also had it sort of a little bit later on in spring as well, where they'll for whatever reason, something drives them to sort of school on a particular patch. A lot of the edges that we do find them will have some sort of lay down structure on them.
Right.
So some really good stuff through scrubby and places like that. Even up this end where we are in the Bidgee Arm, you'll see big clay banks or shaley banks, and they've just got laid down timber laying all over them. And that more often than not sort of rolls right down into the water, and they'll congregate on that timber and just sort of mill along the edge on that sort of structure. So. Yeah.
The if you're going to fish the edge, you don't fish super shallow sort of gradient points or banks. It's not a thing that.
No, I've never had any great success fishing a shallow point like you would in somewhere like Windermere.
Yeah, or Blairing, and when it's got the grassy edges.
No.
So if edge steeper, like the bank which you can't see that we're sitting against.
Yeah, the early spring and those edges that face the sun, that get the sun first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
And it's sort of sun on them all day. They're usually the places that produce.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And then you're fishing quite shallow too.
Yeah, you fish right in. So you've got to fish hard to the edge because they're all mostly pretty steep. So you're basically casting right into within a foot of the bank, and that first sort of shake or hop out, you know, all of a sudden you're in a metre and then you're in 2 metres and 3 metres on each sort of hop. So you've got to fish fairly tight to the edge. Otherwise you end up in too deep of water.
So it is a tree lake. So run us through the trees. Are they on all the trees? Do they concentrate on certain trees?
Yep.
They're like any other lake. Like concentration's there, not there, and they move.
Yeah, massively. Yeah. And they will do, there is pockets here that I fish consistently year in and year out that will always hold a few fish.
Yep.
Generally speaking, though, you've really got to do legwork every time you get out here to find where the concentrations are.
They've moved from 2 weeks ago already.
Yeah, exactly right. Yep. We've already found that from my last session to us being out here now. It's like they've moved.
Yeah.
They've only probably moved a couple hundred metres up or something like that, but you've got to, you know, just have a sound around and hop trees and that sort of thing until you find them.
Because yellows move way more than you think anywhere. They're a fish that will swim hundreds of kilometres in a river system to repopulate or spawn a different area.
Yep.
Same thing in the lake. They will swim from one end of the lake to the other if they need to.
Yeah.
It's usually to do with flow. So at this time of year, we're in early spring, they're going to be moving around. That's what we said. We're seeing a lot of fish not on the trees, swimming around mid-water. They're still keen to eat, but they're hard to target. But that's just what they do at times because they might be travelling to spawn.
Yeah.
They might be looking for a mate. They might be looking for a female.
Yeah, well, they school up in spawning schools in different areas right throughout the whole lake. So as spring wears on into October, you'll see they start rubbing up. A lot of the males will be milting on the deck when you bring them up. So they're still doing the schooling behaviour, and that's what they're doing now by being spread around. They're actually sort of looking for each other.
Yeah.
And they'll just slowly just add more and more to the school and until they get, you know, schooled up into big groups. And I mean, big groups, you know, we're not talking footy fields of yellers sort of spawning on the surface. You might have...
I've seen you have some pretty good screen records here.
Yeah, and that's 20, something that's 10. Only... That came in last year when the water was nice and clear.
Yeah.
We got that big lot of rain and it trashed the whole place all over again.
Yeah.
And there would be 20, 30, 40 fish
that's
hanging over a tree, which is... That's about as good as it gets here.
What's
gets
normal, here. five to
Yeah,
to
generally
eight.
Speaking, you're probably looking 10. At... 10's good. If you find a tree with 10 fish on it, you're on a good tree.
Yeah.
So generally it's 3, 4, 5.
Yep.
That's sort of average. You'll find them on a lot of trees, but then every now and then you'll come across what we call a Christmas tree because the sounder lights up.
Yeah, that's
And you know, that's they're the good ones. They're the ones you're looking for.
Yep.
Trouble is that they'll be there today and over somewhere there over there.
So what's a season look like? If you've done that Rocky Edge thing, you've actually had some good tree sessions in mm-hmm. August, on a really nice August, a warming August.
Yeah, yeah.
And then where does it go from there? Like, what's a September look like? What's an October, November, right through till the next winter?
Yeah, so generally it is that they will start sort of schooling up this time of year. They're starting to come on the chew. They're actually chewing really well.
What are we now?
Mid-September. The water temps are still only 15 degrees, like getting to 15 degrees on the top in the afternoons.
Yep.
So it's still quite cool, but they're happy. And I think that is because we've had good stability after 3 years of rubbish.
Yep.
And yeah, the clarity is fantastic. I mean, some spots here are over 2 metres at the moment, so that's really good. I mean, that's probably something to mention too. 2 metres of clarity in Barrenjoke is good clarity.
Right, so what is good? Like,
I've seen it at three, but
once it hits a metre,
you're on. You're good. You're happy.
Dirty. It's got dirty colour and half a metre. It's tougher.
Yeah, they do get used to it though.
Right.
Like, they will adapt to it because it will happen for months and months at a time. Where right. It's chalky brown. Like, all this area that we're sitting in now, which has got 2 metres of clarity, was chalky brown 18 months ago.
Yep.
And we were still able to get them. So, yeah, but clarity is important still.
Right.
They still fish is better when it's clearer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the fish are just happier and they hunt it easier and things like that.
And we're on the trees.
Yep.
What are we fishing with on the... Oh, no, sorry, the season.
Yeah, so we've got starting to school up now. Through October, it usually fishes quite well. Once you get to November, you're really looking at those really tight schools on the trees.
Right.
And they're really active. That's when they're all rubbed up on the side of the face. And, you know, you can get fish sort of following up other fish. You hook the big female, let her go, and she takes the whole school off with her. And
yeah, right.
That sort of thing. So that's sort of... fishes really well right through November, right into December. Once we start getting towards the second half of December and into January, it gets too hot. So the water temp starts to approach like 30 degrees on the top.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
And the fish have got to sink. They've got to drop down. They'll be sitting in 10, 12 metres of water because it just gets too hot.
And you don't chase them then? Like, that's where you sort of stop because they'll...
If I chase them, I'll chase them first thing in the morning. So I'll get up on dark, I'll chase them for 2 or 3 hours while they're still sitting up a bit.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the day I'm laying up in the sun, in the shade somewhere.
Yeah.
And then I'll fish in the afternoon from sort of 6 o'clock till dark pretty much. So
that summertime's a good time to troll for them.
It is really...
them and cod at the same time.
Yeah, it is really good. And it's sort of 2 or 3 hours start and beginning of the day.
Yeah.
And they can be really red hot sessions.
Yeah.
Sit out in 6 metres of water, 6 to 8 metres of water. You're trolling lures at about 6 metres down.
On an edge. Yep.
You know, your small sort of hard bodies, these stuckies, and sort of 50 to 70 mil for your yellows.
Yep.
And then obviously move up a little bit.
Bigger stuff for cod.
For the cod, yeah. Yep.
And then running through, is there a good bite in that March period as we come into winter?
Yeah.
Or it's kind of...
No, look, March can be really good here. So the weather's stable. You get perfect glassed out days, nice and sunny, and the yellows will... By that time, they're starting to come back up in the water column again.
Yeah.
And you can actually get them that will be sitting only 3 or 4 metres down
right.
in the crowns of the trees. That's one of my favourite times to fish here.
Fish is better, or it's just there's not as many people doing it?
There's probably just less people doing it. It's also easier to predict the weather.
Because it's autumn. Yeah, you don't have the wind.
Through this period of spring, and the wind's
horrible.
This place here. It funnels through all those valleys.
That's
so.
Why we're in a really crappy spot to film. I'm sorry about the blown out background.
Yeah.
But we did our best... actually a bit of time. It is white capping just there.
Yeah, yeah. And that's really common through spring.
It was glass 2 hours ago. Mm. So that's a spring thing. So right.
Yeah, and it makes it hard. You can't then choose to fish where you want to fish. You've got to fish around the wind because no one wants to sit out in that rubbish and try and fish. It makes it all very
So what's the best in autumn? March, April?
It'll
before,
fish
before
well.
It really cools off, like quick cool snap in April.
No, it'll fish well sort of... It depends on the season too.
Yeah, of course.
You know, sometimes February you can get that really stinking hot 40 degree days
yep.
right through to the end of February.
Yeah.
And then in that case, you're looking at second half to the end of March.
Yeah.
April is bang on usually.
Really?
Every single year.
So 24 degrees and
yep.
starting to get cooler overnight.
Yeah, nights are cool. I love bringing the kids up here camping through April. May's still good. May you can get some pretty... ordinary weather starts to get those
yep.
sort of cold fronts come through, but the yellows are still happy because during that time the water's still warm,
yep.
even though the air temperature's cold, so yep. they'll bite right through into May.
Yep.
Once you get into winter time, you're starting to see the metabolism of the fish slow down.
And you will get them. That's a live tech sort of a thing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you've really got to be able to put it across their noses.
So you'll do a little bit of that while chasing the cod, like just
during the day
for something to do.
If I'm out in the session for an overnight or something like that, or a couple of days, I'll fish the cod in the dark.
Yep.
In the morning until sort of 8 or 9 o'clock.
Yep.
I usually have like a coffee and breakfast at that time.
Yeah.
And I actually like to fish the yellows later in the morning, once the sun's sort of been up and about a bit. If it's an overcast, ordinary sort of day, almost won't bother.
Yeah, right, okay.
It's just too hard. If it's a sunny day in winter and you're running live tech, you can still get them to chew.
Yeah, cool.
Just not in massive numbers. They're generally fairly scattered, and sometimes they can actually get really deep as well.
Yeah.
So it sort of goes back to the other extreme where they're chasing warmer water that's sitting down deeper.
Yeah.
And again, I stop chasing them once they get sort of past that 10-metre mark.
Yep.
If I'm taking a couple for a feed, it's a bit different, but if I'm catch and release, it can be pretty dangerous for the fish. So.
And we are looking at lure types, the same lures that work on other lakes, like yep. The exact same, the blacks, the dark colours,
yep.
Grubs on the trees, soft yep. Vibes in the trees, lipless crankbaits on yep. The trees or the edge, vibes yep. like ZX blades on the edge, anything mm-hmm. That's a different standout here that you've noticed for yellows, or it's all... It's pretty much the same, yeah.
Like if you look around in the rods in the boat now, one's got a
dark
lipless crankbait, one's got a curl tail grub, and one's got a soft fob. They're all dark, dark, and darker.
Dark, dark.
The only sort of variation to that is I've actually fished like TN60s in a green and yellow, like a brighter yep. Sort of a TN down the rock walls, and I have outfished my mate who's fishing a darker lure.
Yeah.
So there is obviously times like anywhere. That's really no different. That's not sort of Burrinjuck specific.
Yeah.
To sort of mix it up a little bit. But yeah, generally the same old standard stuff that works everywhere works here.
And anything else? You can jerk bait them here in the trees, yep. Sort of that warming part of spring, like that mid-spring, like on yep. That trend up through that 16, 17, 18 degree temp before yep. It gets to like the 20s and really skyrockets. Yep.
Yeah, and again, that will reverse and come back around again through like March and April.
Yep.
Yep, so yeah, jerk baiting's good fun. Definitely works here. You can draw, and especially when the clarity's good, you can draw those fish in for a long, long time.
Right, and on the trees.
On the trees, yeah. Yep. And it's really good for those ones that are scattered outside of the trees as well, where you can just throw well past them, crank it down, and it can be sort of 2 to 3 metres above them, and you'll twitch it, and you'll just see them just move a little bit, and you twitch it again, and they'll just slowly move over. And once they get their nose on the tail, you just start twitching it, and they just race and just,
yeah.
They slam them. They hit them really good. Yeah.
That's it. Any other tips do you think for, we're going to make another video talking about the structure and the spots. So if
yep.
That's your next question about, well, where do we go? Where should we base ourselves for yellows? That'll be a different video. But
yep.
In terms of chasing yellows here.
No, that's pretty much your general overview, mate. It's the number one structure is always going to be timber. That's always the most consistent fish holding structure. Not all timber is created equal. You do have to use your sounder to look around. We obviously try and fish the heavier, big old red gums. They're usually, they've got plenty of structure for the fish to hold on and the bait to sort of sit on as well. And you know, anywhere where they're sort of sitting close to the river arms is always going to be a good starting point.
Yep.
We don't sort of push right up in the back of the sort of bays too much looking for trees in there.
You prefer the outer banks.
Yeah, yeah. Not that they don't produce. Sometimes a fish will sit there, but I think they prefer to sit out where there's like a little bit of water movement.
In depth to move up and down the water column as yeah. The season progresses.
Yeah, especially through summer and the irrigation season starts and they start dropping the guts out of the lake yep. And they don't want to move too far. If they can say, you know, if you can find a tree that's in 20 metres, it's pretty likely it will hold fish all the way through.
Yeah.
And they'll just drop down.
I found a lot of the little tiny fish will get up in the bays to try and
yeah.
Survive and grow. We've put them on the edge here and they've only been like this big
yeah.
Up yep. In the back of the bays in spring, trying to find warmth and stay away from cod.
Yeah.
But yeah, your better fish are definitely wider.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's probably the guts of it, to be honest.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks, mate. If you have any questions for Dan, jump on the group. Make sure to check out the report every single month for updates on Burrinjuck.